Well, Trump tariff is only 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away now. And the last time we spoke with Johan Himan, who was recruited some years ago by the World Trade Organization, after being a senior official here in South Africa, he had a very senior position there as well. He helped us to understand a little bit about what was going on then. We're going to find out from him what August the 1st might bring for South African exporters. Thank you, Johan, for joining us again as a member of the BizNews tribe. It's wonderful for me to be able to tap into our members and our the enlarged family that we have at BizNews, and that you can share your insights and your knowledge. Just before we go into today's conversation, you clearly have been following what's been going on around the world, and overnight there were some significant developments. Do you want to bring us up to date?
Yes, thanks, Alec. Yes, now a few things happened last night in South African time. Of course, office hours still in the US and in Canada. Just a little bit of a background. We all know that President Trump indicated in his Liberation Day announcement that he's going to impose tariffs within the next 90 days, and then he extended the deadline till the 1st of August this year. Different, what he calls reciprocal tariffs on the imports from different countries, and then he chopped and changed it as countries started to, well, a country like Canada and China resisted some of his proposals. All countries were there in the Rose Garden when he showed us the chart with all the different tariffs. And then he chopped and changed somewhat and then increased it mostly and on the different countries. But they also introduced quite a number of sectoral tariffs. That was up in addition to what he calls reciprocal tariffs. Now, what happened a few days ago? He then published a list of 20 countries, of which South Africa was one, with a tariff indication what the tariffs will be from the 1st of August this year. So for South Africa, he's sticking to his 30% that South Africa got on the Liberation Day list. So South Africa will have to face a 30% increase in tariffs all over. That is a part to the sectoral tariffs on steel and aluminium, which increased from 25% to 50% recently and expanded the scope of it. The steel tariffs to also include white goods such as washing machines, stoves, fridges, and freezers.
Johan, what about the bonus for being a member of BRICS? He also mentioned there'd be a 10% bonus for South Africa, so we go to 40%
yes,
because we're BRICS members.
That is, in if you can call it a bonus, an additional tariff for the members of BRICS. But that has not been mentioned. I think that's more in line of a threat. I think once he's finalized the tariffs on India and Brazil, but primarily India, because he's still negotiating a bilateral deal with India, I think then we'll get a little bit more clarity on the BRICS issue. Perhaps I just mention on the BRICS side, what is also done is he's indicating that he's considering additional tariffs on countries that are supporting Russia. And primarily, that would also include the BRICS countries, sort of almost a subsidiary additional tariff, indirect tariff. So if you trade with Russia, you might get an additional tariff. So he's really weaponizing tariffs, as he's also done with indicated that he's going to do with Brazil. Brazil is also on the list of the 20, and where Brazil had 10% in the Liberation Day list, they're now getting 50% because Trump said he's unhappy with the Brazilian court case against the former president Bolsonaro, his close friend, because it's a court case ongoing against ex-president Bolsonaro, alleging that he planned a coup in Brazil. So,
well, it's very complicated, and it's very complicated, and it's very much a, I suppose, whim of the president, depending on what he might want to do on a particular day. But here in South Africa, I guess many people are hoping that August the 1st will come and go, and there will be no tariffs or no increase in tariffs at that point. What are the chances of that?
Zero. Absolutely zero. I think that the question is whether there will be additional tariffs or issues, because at the moment, as we know, he said he's going to do 90 bilateral deals within 90 days. Now, he has concluded on Vietnam. He announced a deal that was part of the issues announcement yesterday, a deal with Indonesia. Quite an interesting deal where he reduced the tariffs on the Indonesian imports to 19%, and the U.S. exports will go in duty-free into the Indonesian market. And then the one with the U.K., we don't have much detail on the U.K. deal. The Vietnam deal that he said he concluded, they're sort of moving towards concluding it with they will be reducing the tariff rate on indicative on the Liberation Day from 46% to 20%. But what's interesting on the Vietnam tariff is he's also introduced in the agreement a 40% additional transshipment tariff. That means if Vietnam is to transship any products not produced in Vietnam, according to the rules of origin scheme that will be applicable between the two countries, an additional 40% tariff will be added. Now, that is a clear indication that that will also most likely be in other agreements, that is to prevent transshipment primarily from China.
So what is so interesting about all of this is that Donald Trump has got to be feeling his oats right now. The Financial Times of London, our partner over the water, yesterday had a very well read story which said that the U.S. trade numbers show that in the second quarter of this year, due to Trump tariffs, the U.S. Treasury got an extra $50 billion. So that's what he is going to be claiming, that he's already managed to recoup for his country. Let's forget about anything else that happens as far as the economy and trade, et cetera, is concerned. That's money in the bank, and I guess that will make a transactional president very happy.
Indeed. Now, he's already claiming that because in the case of China, their exports in May decreased from 18% to 6%. So of the U.S. imports during the month of May, and that is absolutely significant. Now, the question, of course, is what is going to happen to the excess production in China? But I think let's just finish with the section on what happened yesterday. So, okay, a deal with Indonesia was announced. He also announced a few days ago on the 20 countries, but he also announced yesterday that he's going shortly to send out 150 letters to the heads of state of the 150 smaller trading countries to indicate that what their tariff rate would be. And the indications are that that will be a flat rate. So all the others will get a flat rate on the 1st of August. So it seems to me he's quite committed to stick to the 1st of August. Now, we all know that these trade agreements and to negotiate them take time. It takes time because in the democratic countries like South Africa, the government has to consult with the industry. The government cannot decide these things just by whim. They have to consult because the companies, they have constitutional rights. And so it's a very difficult situation. It's just impossible to conclude these negotiations in such a short period of time. But what he said is that his letters will be basically the deals. He will still be open to further negotiations, but the letters will be the deal for the basically then for the time being, or it will then be the permanent deal.
It was a wonderful piece that Tlelo Giyose wrote for BizNews, which we, we published it on BizNews yesterday. He's from First Avenue Investments. He's been educated all over the world, including in the United States. In fact, he speaks with an American accent, although he is South African. And he focused on what he calls non-tariff measures, non-tariff barriers. And he says that Pretoria is completely missing the point, that actually what Trump is focusing on here and maybe with other some other countries are these non-tariff measures. Now, you were at the World Trade Organization for a long time. Even for somebody who doesn't know that much about trade, you do know that we pay 30% more for our motor vehicles in South Africa so that we have a motor industry that can export into the United States up until now duty-free. So it appears as though certainly Tlelo reckons that the government is missing the point by arguing the minuete, that it's all about these non-tariff measures which need to be addressed. How important are these, what they call non-tariff barriers, or in our country, it's things like that extra duty on cars, and you take it further, BE, expropriation without compensation, and many other things that have been highlighted.
Well, Alec is right. That is absolutely critical. And you recall that in our last discussion, I mentioned the fact that was before countries started to negotiate the deals. I think it was after Japan entered the room, the negotiating room with the U.S., where the U.S. then said, oh, but it's not only about tariffs, it's about non-tariff barriers. Now, and then I said, but you know, are the South Africans prepared to negotiate, and have they done their homework on the non-tariff barriers? Now, that's a complicated issue. Now, non-tariff barrier is not defined for very obvious reasons, but it can be anything. It's sanitary measures, it's phytosanitary, it's standards. There are all a range of issues, and it's very much in the eyes of the beholder, because in the US they're arguing that BEE is a non-tariff barrier. In the case of the EU, they're trying to get the EU to drop VAT, because in the US they don't have a VAT system, and the US sees it as a non-tariff barrier. Now, in the past, non-tariff barriers were not that important, but they're increasingly important, because as tariffs started to go down the last 40, 50, 60 years, beyond border measures, as they're also called, they started to sprout up, and they're very well and growing and expanding all over the world, and particularly in sensitive products, where food products, where you have very high standards, and linked to that, of course, is the U.S. is publishing every year what they call the National Trade Estimate Report on Foreign Trade Barriers, and this year's report was published on the 31st of March. And if you look at the section on South Africa, it's primarily non-tariff barriers that are listed, about three pages of script on South Africa's non-tariff barriers. Now, I assume that the U.S. raised all these issues with the South African negotiators. So it's absolutely critically important.
And yet the public in South Africa have not been informed at all about any of this. The argument that comes out of the union buildings is, well, the figures aren't absolutely correct, and you really aren't comparing things properly. When we have a look at those non-tariff barriers, even amateurs can understand that, for instance, China, most of Chinese companies that have dominated the global trade situation, we know how Chinese trade has grown since they joined the WTO. Most of them are funded by government, owned by government, and hence their cost of capital is a fraction of what it would be elsewhere, which gives them a huge non-tariff barrier. It sounds like a good thing that there is attention on this, but maybe that's just because I believe in free
markets. No one's reading it. Yes, no, it's absolutely critically important because it can play both ways. Because if your exporting market, if you in South Africa have a lot of non-tariff barriers and you use that to protect your domestic industry, but you face the similar or even higher standards in your exporting market. And that's why they're trying to develop internationally agreed standards to that you don't use these measures as a way to protect your domestic industry to get around some other constraints. And it's quite the art. It's really a very well-developed art. And of course, the EU is absolutely the master with developing very, very sophisticated non-tariff barriers because of their 27 member states, each and every one with their different requirements on different products. And then it's all assembled into one, well, not one, a couple of very thick ring binders. It's very, very complicated issue. And for developing countries to understand these non-tariff barriers, it's huge challenge, huge.
Sounds very sneaky to me. I remember being in the audience at the World Economic Forum once where somebody explained how you got more money if you were a cow in Europe than if you were a human being in Africa. The earnings per day on average for someone on this continent was less than the subsidy that went to cows in Europe. So there is a heck of a lot of complexity that is going through, which presumably Donald Trump, in trying to rebalance America's position, trade position in the world, is trying to address.
Yes, no, I think that's what he's trying to address. But of course, he is looking it through the lens of the U.S. One of the issues, one of the major non-tariff barriers that the U.S. has been complaining about for years is the fact that in the U.S., hormone treatment for cows is allowed and not in the EU. And the U.S. see that as a non-tariff barrier. Now, the question is it or is it not? It's very much in the eyes of the beholder.
So where do we go to from here? If, as you've said, there is no chance of there being no tariffs on South African goods on the 1st of August, I would refer premium members to the podcast that we've published today from the Financial Times of London. And there, the host of Unhedged, at the end of the Unhedged podcast, they'd say what they would go long on. The one guy, the editor of Lex, says he's going to go long on crypto. The host of Unhedged, Rob Armstrong, says he's going long on Trump tariffs actually coming in on the 1st of August. No more this taco trade, as they call it. Trump always chickens out. There's no more chickening out in his view anyway. Let's just say that from a South African perspective, we have to prepare ourselves for 30, maybe 40%. What might happen thereafter? Will Pretoria get a skrik and look at those non-tariff barriers and say, crumbs, we got to do something about this? Or is it going to be less important for them to do that because there are alternatives for South African exports?
Well, my view is that they should really sharpen the pencils and engage very, very actively with the U.S. and see what can be done. Some of the issues I'm sure that South Africa will be able to address. Others perhaps a little bit more problematic, but at least make an effort and not to sit back. I think South Africa will have to engage very, very actively with the U.S. Now, the challenge there is, as we know, the ambassador designate when he arrived in Washington, he didn't stay long. And since then, no ambassador has been appointed. And his predecessor was in Washington for a few months, active few months, a little bit longer, but was not very, very active. So it's also indication from South Africa's side. Well, that's how the U.S. is reading it. South Africa is not really that serious about its relations with the U.S. So the question is, where are we going to stand in the queue? Because there will be many countries now really knocking on the door, because the 1st of August is around the corner. Now, what also happened last night, which is really, really significant, Canada made the first move. As we know, Canada and China resisted Trump, and then he got angry, and then he increased their tariffs. The EU said, well, they're preparing a list. They also announced the list with $84 billion EU's worth of U.S. imports that they will hit if the duties of 30% on the EU will be imposed. That's the latest for the EU on the 1st of August. At one stage, Trump threatened them with 50%. So what Canada did yesterday, they introduced a few measures, and particularly to protect their steel industry. They introduced a system of a tariff rate quota. That means for countries that they have a free trade agreement, they will get a tariff-free quota of the level of the volume of imports of certain steel products on the 2024 level. So if they exported 100 million worth of steel to Canada, they will get a 100 million quota. For 100 million and 1 tons, they will pay an additional tariff of 50%. Those countries without the FTA with Canada, they will get a tariff rate quota of 50% of the volume exported into Canada last year, and they will pay 50% in addition to the tariff rate at the moment is zero, so they will then pay 50%. So that is quite significant. And what they've also done is they've introduced, I think it's
Johan. I know this is fascinating to you, but I think for the average South African, they're, what the heck? Who cares? You know, that's miles miles and miles away from where we are. I want to know what the implications of all of that, because if every country is going to be doing what Canada is doing, bringing in this intricate, if you haven't in 1994 and so on, what does it mean for us? Where do we go from here? What advice can you give a South African exporter given this complex world that we're now facing?
Why I'm mentioning the Canada situation is that Canada is the first country really to start to make a move, and more countries will follow. The EU is having a summit with China the 25th of July. That's around the corner, because it's a question of how to deal with these things, because Canada is also introducing a special tariff. If a steel product is imported into Canada, which contains steel poured or produced in Canada, in China, before the end of July, after the first end of July, that will attract an additional tariff. So it's a punitive tariff even from Canada on Chinese exports. Now the message there is, your question is what to do for South Africa, is really actively try to negotiate with the U.S., but also look at your own trade defense measures, anti-dumping. Do we have a measure, the same type of measure that Canada has been using? Do we have the legislation to be able to move quick? Because you have to move quick, because Canada said it's because of trade diversion. Now, if Canada has started to do it, you can expect the EU to do the same thing. Now, where is the surplus steel in the world? There's between 50 million and 100 million tons of steel coming out of China, that surplus. So where is that going? Is that going? What is AMSA going to do? What are the minimalist steel producers going to do in South Africa? And do we really have the instruments to address these things? It's the 1st of August is around the corner.
Johan Huerman is a retired World Trade Organization senior official, and he was also a senior official in the South African state. And I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.